Blog Talk Radio.
You know very well who you are. But don't let them hold you down. Reach for the stars. You had a goal, but not that many. Cause you're the only one I'll give you good today.
Are trying to help educate the ladies, yes, the ladies, on the fundamentals of baseball, basketball, and football, all right? But like I said, this is a show for everyone. We do not discriminate, and we want to hear from all of you, all right? And how do we hear from all of you? Well, let me go ahead and give you that information. One, you can pick up your telephone and dial 347-826-7924. You can also log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/LLSports2. That is the number 2. Or you can catch us live and in living color, as they will be doing here shortly. Facebook Live, Tina D. Jackson is the name. Okay, little housekeeping for you. Make sure to follow the show. Okay, to do that, just log on to that homepage, blogtalkradio.com/LLSports2. Click on the follow link. Most importantly, make sure to activate your email. Otherwise, your name and number will not be counted. Also, you can find us in iTunes. All right, just go to your iTunes account, type in LLSports2 with TJ, and voila, we shall appear. Like the phoenix, right? Okay, let me stop. Was right there at the cliff, just about to go over. You know how your girl could do sometimes. But anyway, please do make sure that you follow the show on one of those two forms, okay? And let's see here. Anything on my mind tonight? Did you watch the fight? Did anybody watch the Floyd Mayweather exhibition fight? If you did, just hit us up, you know, call and tell us what you thought of it. Did you enjoy it? Did you pay for it? Is it changing boxing? I mean, you know, is it diminishing, you know, what boxing used to be all about? Or is it just for fun? You know, is it just some little fun entertainment? So tell us what you think about that. In all honesty, full disclosure, full transparency, no, I did not see it. And I could have seen it for free. That just shows you how interested your girl was in that. Okay, then. But we want to hear from you, all right? So let's see. Let's get to the rundown tonight. Of course, NBA playoff picture. What? It is some new, exciting talent in the NBA. If you are not watching these NBA playoffs, man, you are missing some really, really good games. So we'll definitely recap. We are now in round 2. So who is advanced, or who is doing what, and who is showing up and who is showing out? How about that? Let's say that. The Titans and Mr. Jones, they got a thing. Okay, all right. Let's see, I made it four minutes without a song. Okay. Seriously, though, the Titans and Mr. Jones, Julio Jones, has made his move. Aaron Rodgers in the giving mood, just giving away money. We'll talk about that. Of course, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball news and notes, Wednesday Wikipedia, Lucinda's lyrics, TJ's motivational moment. You already know. It's a jam-packed lineup for you. So just get ready, get ready, get ready, all right, because we are getting ready to bring it to you. We will go ahead and jump into our first break. The breaks tonight, birthdays. Each one of these artists celebrates a birthday this week, or would have. All right? So hopefully you enjoy the music. So we will go ahead, jump into our first break, and then on the outside of this NBA playoff recap, whoever's playing, whatever games they have played, we are going to talk about it and talk about what we are looking forward to, what we have already seen. You already know how we do it. We are going to get in it, get out, and get something. Okay? I'm just so happy to do this show, y'all. Can you tell? All right, we'll be right back after the break. LL Sports 2, DJ.
First things first, I'm the realest, realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right.
You should want a bad bitch like this.
Huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight, never chase that.
Never
stop like we bring an 88 back.
What?
Bring the hook in where the bass at. Champagne feeling, you should taste that.
You knew that I be the IGGY, put my name in ball. I've been working, I'm up in here with some change to throw.
I'm so fancy.
How you love that? Got the whole world asking how I does that. Hot girl, hands off, don't touch that. Look at it, I bet you wishing you could clutch that. That's just the way you like it, huh? It's so good, he just wishing he could bite it, huh? Never turn down nothing, playing these things. Gold sugar on it, just right.
That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. A little Iggy Azalea. Do y'all remember that? Man, talk about a one-hit wonder. Well, I think she had another hit, but I can't remember. But I was like, oh, it's Iggy's birthday. I get to play that song. I used to love that song. Okay, anyway, how about this other song that I love, Curtis Blow, because we're playing basketball without that basketball. Okay. Y'all already know. Jukebox Julius, as Janelle loves to call me. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. NBA playoffs in full effect. We have now made it to the semifinal round. Who advanced? Let's go ahead and talk about it. Number one, 76ers versus the number five high-flying, soaring Atlanta Hawks. Yes. Game one, the Hawks took it 128-124 for Atlanta. Trae Young is the first in Hawks postseason history to have 35 points and 10 assists in a playoff game. Hawks shot 20 of 47 3-point from three-point range, so that was the most made three-point field goals in franchise playoff history. For Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, he had 39 points. That was the most points by a 76er in a playoff game since AI, yes, 2003. And in that game one, Philadelphia trailed by 26 points. So Hawks came in, took care of what they needed to do because they did take one of two. But they have gained now home court advantage. Game two for that series, though, 76ers took it 118-102. Joel Embiid, 40 points. That was a playoff career high for him. Shot 13 of 25 from the field, 12 of 16 from free throws, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Tobias Harris, 22 points. Seth Curry, 21 points. Shake them off. Shake Milton, 14 points. He shot 4 of 5 from three-point range, 3 rebounds, but all of his 14 points came in the second half. Ben Simmons, I have my shades up. APB, can anybody find Ben Simmons? What? All that talent, and the boy just picks and chooses when he wants to show up. 4 points, three rebounds, and 7 assists. Now for Philadelphia, they have a 4-1 home playoff record because, again, they dropped game one. But for Atlanta, just a subpar day for Trae Young. 21 points. He shot 6 of 16 from the field. He only shot 1 of 7 from three-point range, shot 8 of 9 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 11 assists. But I believe the Atlanta Hawks has, I know it was at least 17. I think it might have been 20 turnovers in game two. Trae just wasn't able. Not all 17 were from Trae, but he just wasn't his sharp shooting, take over the game. What else do I want to say? Like facilitator of the game like he normally is. But, you know, everybody's due one bad game, because one thing I can say about Trae Young, the moment is never too big for him. For Gallinari, 21 points. He shot 5 of 9 from three-point range, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. Herter, 20 points, shot 8 of 10 from the field. Bogdanovich, 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. And I do believe Bogdanovich had the first 7-8 points for the Hawks in game two. But Hawks now head home. They have won 13 consecutive at home. Just to give you a kind of a comparison for game two, bench points in the first half of game two, Atlanta's bench contributed 32 points, Philadelphia 0. But the second half, Atlanta's bench only contributed 17 and Philadelphia 26. Joel Embiid, this was his first 40-point playoff game for a Sixer since, again, Allen Iverson in 2003. And the Philly starters outscored the Atlanta starters 92-53 in game two. Trae Young, 30-plus points in 3 consecutive road playoff games. This is going back to his first round with New York. Again, 30-plus points in 3 consecutive road playoff games. That was at Madison Square Garden, and that was the first since MJ. All right, moving on to the Nets and the Bucks. I have another APB out. Have you seen the Milwaukee Bucks? Have you seen the number 3 seeded Bucks? Because they have not showed up in this series. Nets took this game, have taken both games now, leading the series 2-0. Oh, I'm so sorry. In the first series, it is now tied. Sixers, Hawks tied 1 apiece. All right, Nets, Bucks. Nets lead this one 2-0. They took the game 1, 115-107. In game 2, Nets, it was just a beatdown. I think I said this in the series with the Bucks and the Nets. I'm sorry, not the Bucks, the Boston Celtics and the Nets. It's like, okay, can you just forfeit? I do not want the Milwaukee Bucks to forfeit, of course, but they really, there's an APB out on them. Nets, 125, Bucks, 86. Kevin Durant, 32 points, shot 12 of 18 from the field. Kyrie Irving, 22 points, shot 4 of 8 from three-point range. Harris, 13 points, shot 3 of 7 from three-point range. And Brown, 13 points, shot 6 of 10 from the field. Durant and Irvin had a combined, they combined to either score or assist on 80 of those points. And like I said, Durant only had 32, Kyrie Irving only had 22, and the Nets scored 125 points. That means that the others came to play. They led by 24 at the half. They had 21 three-point field goals made. That is the most in team playoff history. And Brooklyn's 39-point win in Game 2 is the largest margin of victory in Nets NBA playoff history. They have now won 8 straight home games. For Antetokounmpo, 18 points. He shot 8 of 15 from the field, only shot 2 of 7 from free throw range, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Middleton, 17 points, shot 7 of 20 from the field. Drew Holiday, 13 points, only shot 6 of 10 from the field. And Brooke Lopez, 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. For Milwaukee, this was the season low, 86 points in Game 2. That is including the regular season. So, like I said, just a pedestrian day and series for the Milwaukee Bucks. So now they head to Milwaukee. Let's see if that is going to bring them some winning winning juice. How about that? But just so disappointing in the Milwaukee Bucks. Why are you going to wait till the semis? You take care of business. You sweep the first round. Get your rest. And now come and just lay 2 eggs in this series. And as I mentioned, heading into the series, the Bucks and the Nets, they have the top 2 scoring offenses. Again, APB, where is the Milwaukee Bucks offense in this series, okay? All right, let's move to the Wild Wild West. Let's start off with the good news, okay? Round 1 went to Game 7 for the Mavericks and the Clippers. Clippers took care of business, okay? Taking Game 7, 126 to 111. The Clippers shot from three-point range. They had 43 three-pointers, so they shot 47%. For Kawhi Leonard, he is now fourth in the history books with 200 points on 60% field goals in a playoff series. The Clippers came back from a series deficit of 2-0 and also 3-2. All right? That's the good news. Bad news? Well, they dropped Game 1. But the Clippers came to play. Everyone, you know, you have to admit, coming out of a Game 7, you know, when you have a series that goes 7 games, and then you come out on top, that takes a lot out of you. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of, you know, just energy exuded and everything. So for the Clippers to come and play as well as they did, I tip my hat to them. They are showing, you know, that they are not just trying to get to the next level. They are really trying to move to the Western Conference Finals. But again, they did fall to the Jazz 112-109. Donovan Mitchell, 45. Count them again. 45 points. Shot 16 of 30 from the field. 6 of 15 from three-point range. 3 rebounds. 5 assists. Bogdanovich, 18 points. Shot 6 of 14 from the field. Clarkson, 18 points. Gobert, 10 points. 12 rebounds and 3 blocks for the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, 23 points, shot 9 of 19 from the field, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Paul George, I'm going to need you to just not play in the fourth quarter. The Clippers are going to need an effort from you all 48 minutes. You're going to have to play all 4 quarters. 20 points, shot 4 of 17 from the field, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. Kennard, 18 points, and Zubac, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. But for Paul George, this is his 10th postseason game, shooting 25% or worse. He cannot do it by himself, Paul George. Kawhi Leonard, he needs his Robin to his Batman, all right? So let's see what they can do Thursday, still in Utah. And for the second game for the Western Conference, Suns, Nuggets. Suns took Game 1, 122-105. For the Suns, Bridges, 23 points, shot 4 of 8 from three-point range, 5 assists, 2 steals. Chris Paul, he looks to be healthy now. Let's just keep him lifted in prayer that he can remain healthy through these playoffs, because a healthy Chris Paul, a healthy Phoenix Suns, is an exciting team to watch. Chris Paul, 21 points, shot 8 of 14 from the field, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. Booker, book him. Okay, just book it. That boy is showing his worth. 21 points, shot 8 of 12 from the field, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. And DeAndre Ayton, he is showing that he is going to be a powerhouse in this league as well. 20 points, shot 9 of 13 from the field, 10 rebounds, but he has something for the Joker. He has been, like I said, he has just really been showing his presence in these first two playoff series. But for the reigning NBA MVP, 22 points, shot 10 of 23 from the field, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Aaron Gordon, 18 points. Michael Porter Jr., 15 points. And Campazzo, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. So, again, these playoff series, they have been so fun to watch. If you have not been watching them, you have been missing some really, really good football, minus the Nets and the Bucks. All right. So with that, let's go ahead and bring in the ladies so we can talk about these series here, what we are expecting, what we're looking forward to, what has been exciting so far. So let's go ahead and bring in – oh, did I lose them? Where did they go? One, two? Let's see if we can bring them in here. Don't leave me, ladies. Don't go. Please don't go, girl.
Jukebox Judy.
Don't go.
Good evening, ladies.
Ladies. Everywhere.
Good evening, ladies.
Is she losing it again? Good evening, beautiful
yes.
queen.
Good evening.
Hi, beautiful queen. Is all four girls on the scene or all four girls on the scene?
Yes. All four.
Full round table tonight. Carrie, so glad you could join us. I was putting up my back signals, my prayer signals. I said, please give her the strength to get through these 2 hours with us. What's going on, everybody? Man, Yvonne, I see you, my auntie Kim in the house. Sandy, what's going on? Let's see here. There's some people here. Did I say Michael A? Yes, Alvin George in the house. And, of course, Derek Rainey. Thank you so much for tuning in. And that's all over. Oh, my auntie Karen. I'm getting ready, saving the best for last. My mommy, please bring holding down that timeline for your girl. Okay, let's see. Michael A. says, to see if Chris Paul can finally make it to a conference finals for the first time in his career, this is the best chance. Let's see if we can see it. This is the best chance it can make in this semifinal round. But, ladies, have y'all had a chance to keep up? Are y'all watching all the games?
Yes, I am. I've been watching as much as I can. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I've been watching as much as I can. I'm just so impressed with some of these teams. That there at Atlanta Hawks team ain't no joke. But they got
Atlanta Hawks are playing outstanding basketball. You can never say they have now put to bed a team that is young. No one can ever say at the end in life that if you have a young team, you can't do things. Because if you have a good coach and you have players that want to come out and play every night, shout out to the Atlanta Hawks.
All things are possible. Can you say Trey Young, Pung Pong, Ping Pong, Tay Tay? That little rascal, they sit him down for a minute, but he needs to be up in it at all times because that boy is bad as a bat. And they're doing well, but then those Nets are popping it up too, though. The Nets, it's just like, oh, my goodness, they ain't playing. You hear me?
Yeah, I'm telling you, guess who's back? The Eastern Conference. That's who's back, okay? The West, the Wild Wild West, they're gonna have some competition.
They and those 76ers are doing well as well. I mean, they rose to the occasion last night. I think the game that I saw them play. That's why they tied 1-1 up here. But I'm just excited. But I didn't know what was going on with my game last night with those Jazz, because the Jazz was off on their threes, and thank God they were off. But we just gave the game away. I don't even know who we are. Who are we? Because we gave that game away. I don't even know. What's all on the side?
Y'all were in control pretty much all night. And then fourth quarter.
Thank you. Until the third quarter.
It was a slap. It was a collapse. But like I said, great energy, though, from the Clippers, because coming off of a seven-game series, a hard-fought seven-game series, and to be able to still muster up that energy and strength, everybody kept Paul George. So he came alive in the fourth quarter, but he has got to stop being incognito in the first three quarters.
But let's go ahead. Let's start off with the Eastern Conference here first. Hawks, 76ers. Janelle, Terry, what are you loving? You know, what you're seeing from the Hawks? Anything that's kind of concerning you or worrying you? And how do you think that the Hawks will fare when they come back home for game three on Friday night? Terry, we'll have you kick that off.
The game last night, I wasn't too pleased for it. I mean, they played ball. The Hawks played. But Trey just looked like he wasn't himself, and the low scoring. And they missed a lot of bats and had a lot of turnovers. So I don't know what came in play there, but I didn't like that. Even though, like Ms. Lucinda said, you know, Trey, he needed to be on the court at all times. But and Joel Embiid, I mean, they had no answer for him last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just slamming and just doing everything. He was just mixing it up. And I do think that when they come back on the court, I think the Hawks is going to be better prepared. I think they've been behind the scene practicing on them threes, or they've been missing a lot of threes. But I think they're going to be ready.
All right.
Nail? I'm just proud of my boys for going into Philly and taking that first game, because I wasn't expecting them. I was expecting them to put up a fight, but I wasn't expecting them to take the game over. And I think what happened was last night they had too much confidence on them because they or was tired or something, because they really weren't playing like they have been in these playoffs. But it was for me, it's just phenomenal to see that they're actually doing something. I'm grateful for that, because for a minute we've been sitting on the bench watching everybody else. Now it's our turn to get something done.
That's right. I know that's right. 347-866-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight. The fifth and fourth and full roundtable tonight. Alvin George, thank you. Donnell Niner, thank you so much. Donnell Niner Johnson. Who am I missing? Jerome Davis, Tony Maddox in the house. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the show tonight. Ladies, how scared were you in game one when the 76ers cut it to two? But, you know, I think that shows the poise, and the Hawks have – I really believe that they have grown up in this in these first two series here. For them to be able to hold on to that game one victory says a lot for
yes.
the team. And
yes.
you know, I don't know if it was cocky. Well, that's not the word you use, confident. But maybe it was just an off night, because there were a lot of turnovers. But credit the 76ers as well, because a lot of Trey Young's floaters, they were getting batted out, you know, of the paint. Joel Embiid, I think he was on a mission, because the Joker, Nikola Jokic. He had won, you know, the MVP. Maybe Embiid thought, you know, he should have won it. But, you know, we always say the best ability is availability. And Joker played pretty much the entire season, even though it was condensed. Embiid missed entirely too many games. So I think Embiid was kind of on a mission to say, okay, don't forget why I was in the running for MVP as well. I think he had a little bit of incentive. But I just think it was an off night. Collins wasn't really on point. But can we tip our hats to Bogdanovich? Boogie Bog. That's what I'm going to call him. Boogie Bog D. Because that boy is playing some, ooh, I love to watch him shoot. Love it. But how nervous were y'all with game one, though? Be honest.
I was definitely nervous, but I had confidence in them because the way they came out planned. I knew they weren't gonna let that slide. I know they weren't gonna lose that game like that.
Okay. Same here.
All right. Okay.
And
so
I think that when they get back to Atlanta, it's gonna be the fire's gonna be turned back on, because they seem to play so well at home. I think the crowd really does something for them. So I think we're gonna be okay.
Okay. All right. You're leading me into my next question, because that's where I was going. Because, you know, Atlanta, and I remember when, what was it, two years ago when I was covering the Hawks and the 76ers came to town. When I tell you that Phillips Arena was, like, it had to be at least 40%, 76% fans. But, you know, generally, you know, because a lot of people keep their home teams, and this is really a good opportunity for them to see their teams when they come play the Atlanta franchise. So are you concerned that the home court advantage won't be there? But, Janelle, I think you answered it. So you do think that State Farm Arena is going to be rocking with Atlanta Hawks fans, right?
Yeah, I do believe that.
Okay, all right. Terry, what about you?
I do. I believe it. I say when they return home, then, you know, with the crowd, like Janelle said, yeah, I think it's going to be rocking. They're going to have that energy. The energy will be back up. So I think we're going to be fine.
Okay. All right. Hey, Lou, you want to chime in on that series before we move to the next one?
Let me chime. I think that those boys going to give them a run for their money. I really do. But I don't know now that the 76ers are kind of waking up. But like I say, those Hawks, that's a young team. So, you know, I think the strong, it's only the strong will survive. So I think he's going to go to game 7. I believe that.
All right. Well, kick it off then, eh, Lou? So you think it's going to go 7? Who is coming out of the Hawks 76ers matchup then?
That's Embiid, right? That's how big it was. See, they want to win it. But then these little young boys going to win it. See, and if anything, if they win it, the 76ers, it would be because of the more experience of them, you know. But the young ones are going to – huh? The young ones are going to just drag it out, and they're going to run all over them and make them tired. So it's like it's just on the stronger team that's going to win it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so speaking of dragging it out, which are you picking in 7?
Yay!
That was a pretty good show right there, Lou. Thank you for that layup.
Can I just think about it a little bit more? Because I don't know. I kind of want the Hawks to win it, but then I think that, you know, because of the experience that the 76 might pull it off. The 76ers might pull it off. So.
Okay. All right. You still want a little time to marinate on it? You want me to come back around?
Let me marinate and
okay. Okay. All right. Now, how many games and who is taking this series?
I think that Ms. Lucinda's right. It's definitely going 7 games. But if we can keep home court advantage right now and take these next 2, then I think we'll take it.
Okay. So you're saying 7, the Hawks are 7?
Yeah, it's gonna go 7. It's definitely going 7, but
All right. Terry?
I'm going to say they're going to take it. They're going to 6, and the Hawks will take it.
Okay.
But they got to keep up. They got to come with firepower.
Mm-hmm. All right. So according to your prediction, Terry, you think that they are going to win both games at home, games 3 and 4?
Yes.
Okay. All right. 347-826-7944. That is
Sarah.
Talk to the ladies tonight. Who was that? Hey, Lou, was that you or Janelle?
That was Janelle. I said, go ahead, Miss Terry. That's the way you have faith in your team.
That's right. Yep. Right.
Yes.
You know what? I think I'm going with Janelle and A. Lou. I do believe it's going to go 7, but the Hawks have shown that they can win no matter where they are. I think this. Because I think I picked the Hawks in 6. I mean, yeah, the Hawks in 7 in the last one. But I think the Hawks in 7, they're going to take it in Philadelphia. I would like for them to do it in 6, but I would like for them to win at home. But for some reason, I think Trey enjoys winning on the road. He just really enjoys shutting a home court down. That bow he put up, I still love that. That boy took the bow in New York. What? I love it. All right.
Well, he's been acting up in Philly, too, because you saw him shoot that three-pointer and just leave his hand up there looking at folks like what?
Oh, yeah. And now he even had Bogdanovich, you know, putting the finger up, you're like, I'll be quiet. Oh, I love it, especially when you can back it up. Baby, give it to them in full force. No chaser. I absolutely love it. All right, so let's move to the Nets and Bucks. Sadie, can anybody find the Milwaukee Bucks for me? Anybody? What is going on with Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's looking kind of bleak. It's looking kind of bleak. I don't know. I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked that they're playing the way they're playing. And not only is it bad, but, you know, it's not even close games. They lost to, I think the score was 86-125 that last game they played. What is happening?
They were down by 49 points. 49 in a playoff game.
I don't know what's going on with the Bucks. They're just not playing like they normally do, or either they just don't want to dance, or maybe the Nets home court was too much for them, or I don't know what's going on.
It's leading me to this question: is it just outstanding Nets? I mean, is it that the Nets are just that outstanding, or is it that the Bucks just are not rising to the occasion?
Bucks are not rising to the occasion. Please don't get me wrong, okay? Because the Nets is fire right now.
Right.
I take my hats off to the Nets, but the Bucks truly are not rising to the occasion. So the Nets, when you don't show up for a game, you don't ever, especially when you got KD playing, you don't ever show up to a game and don't think you're going to get your face slammed in the mud if you're not going to do what you're supposed to do.
Okay. Nothing I can say after that. Okay. But you're saying that it's the Nets are just dominating at this point.
They're taking advantage of the fact that the Bucks are not showing up.
Gotcha. All right. Terry, I heard you chime up in there.
Yeah, I totally agree with Janelle. I think that right now the Nets, they just untouchable. And the Bucks are just not rising to the occasion. It's just like they're dead, you know. They're not putting forth the effort that they need to win. They're not acting like they want to win. They're just there to say, okay, let's do practice, you know. But the Nets right now, they're unstoppable. They're unstoppable. They can't do anything with them. They're just outplaying them.
St. Lou, what do you think it is? Is it just outstanding Nets or the Bucks just not rise to the occasion?
Well, you got the second seed and the sixth seed. So, you know, the Bucks, whoever is a, you know, I mean, they've been second seed, the Nets. So, the Bucks got to do a lot to rise up to the occasion. You know what I mean? Because it ain't like that they just in third place or first place, you know, but was in third place or first place.
Hey, Luke, the Bucks are third.
The Bucks are third?
Yeah.
I thought they were sixth. Miami?
No, the Bucks are third.
Okay, so they were third, and then what were the Nets?
The Nets are second. You were right about the Nets. They're second.
Okay, so I thought it was second and sixth. Okay, well, that's close, but, you know, that could go either way. But
right.
It shouldn't be to the point that it's a blowout, though. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It shouldn't be, you know, like that's what happened. So I just think people have an off night. We'll see, you know, because we're going to see what's going to happen. But it's just so exciting, you know, to see them, because half of these teams I don't really know that well, because, you know, I was just so one-minded with the Clippers and the Lakers. Wait, let me say something. Quaker, I hear Earthquake or Quaker. What happened to the Lakers?
They are gone.
Somebody tell me. Please.
They have gone fishing. That is what happened to the Lakers. They have gone fishing. Oh, LeBron.
You know what I mean? It happened so quickly. The song just beat them down. Just beat them down. They got beat down. Did they get beat?
Yes, they
but,
did.
And so, and it's quiet in the front. I don't see nobody talking about the Lakers or nothing. I'm just like, okay.
So let's see what happens. Yes, they are now relevant. That is for sure. My Aunt Karen says, I think they bucking out. All right. Play all words. Go ahead, Aunt Karen. But can we talk about the resurrection of Blake Griffin? Did you see the posterization of Antetokounmpo. Blake Griffin is back. Okay, y'all remember Blake Griffin in the slam dunk contest when he was dunking over kids and everything? The man dunking over Giannis. So I said, come on, Blake. You can play possum all you want to. He acts like he had a broke leg, neck, and foot in Detroit. That brother,
God, he's an ex-Clipper. Come on, now he's an ex-Clipper. You know he got, and he was bad when he was hot in the day. He was bad.
Yeah, so. See, well, he has resurrected his career. Okay, talk about playing possum. Get a yeah, Blake need to quit. He need to give Detroit their money back because that's it. He just robbed them. But but shout out to the resurrection of Blake Griffin. It they are fun to watch. If you are missing the NBA playoffs, you are missing some treats. I ain't gonna lie to you. All right, so I said, let's do this. Let's put a pin in it, and we are going to jump into a quick break. I believe we have someone on the phone line that wants to talk to us as well. We're gonna jump to a quick break, come back, and we will talk about the wild, wild west that does not include who ain't Lou.
The Lakers.
Oh, that's right. All right. Terry,
stop
are you with
before I pop you.
Terry in the house.
Terry is in the house. Janelle. Oh, are you swimming?
Yeah, Jukebox Duty, you know I'm here with you.
Come on with it now. Hey, Lou. What? Hey.
Lou is all up in this house, even though we're down by one, but it don't matter because we in the playoffs round two.
Yeah. I know that's right. You're in the place to be, just like they are right now with LL Sports 2 and TJ and the Fifth and Fourth in the house. We will be right back after the break.
Yo, Chief, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. Too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Chitta. Shot down, what's going on? Yeah, I drink a goose for breakfast, an inch for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I didn't dip his dessert. That right there could drive a sane man berserk. Not to worry, Mr. Ace did the illos back to wizard. How do you console my mom? Or give her life support? Telling her son's on life support. And just imagine how my girl feel. On the plane, get a tail that I got, look like Emmett Till. She was with me before the deal, she been trying to be mine. She a Delta, so she been throwing that dynasty sign. No use me trying to be lying, I've been trying to be signed. Trying to be a millionaire, I used two lifelines. In the same hospital with Biggie Small died. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV and I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here, it's me in the making, man. I really apologize to everyone right now. If it's unclear at all, man. They got my mouth wired shut for like, I don't know, the doctor said like 6 weeks. You know, yeah, I had reconstructive surgery on my jaw. I look in the mirror, half of my jaw was in the back of my mouth, man. I couldn't believe it. I'm still here for y'all right now, man. This is what I got to say right here, though.
Yeah. Turn me up, yeah. What if somebody from the shadow was ill? Got a deal on the hottest rap label of Brown. But he wasn't talking about coke and birds. It was more like spoken word. Said he's really putting it down. And he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in a game. Good dude, bad night, right place, wrong time. In the blink of an eye, his whole life changed. If you could feel how my face felt, you would know how Mace felt. Thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt. I swear to God, drive a 2-1 or 2. I got a lawyer for the case to keep us in my safe. My dogs couldn't tell if I look like Tom Cruise on Vanilla Sky. It was televised. It's been an accident like Geico. They thought I was burned up like Pepsi did Michael. I must got an angel, cause look how death missed his ass. Unbreakable, what you thought they call me, Mr. Glass? Look back on my life like the ghost of Christmas past. Toys R Us where I used to spend that Christmas cash. And I still won't grow up, I'm a grown ass kid. Swear I should be locked up for stupid shit that I did. But I'm a champion, so I turn tragedy to triumph. Make music that's fire, flip my soul through the wire.
Woo.
you know what I'm saying? When the doctor told me I had a, I was gonna have a plate in my chin. I said, dog, did you realize I'm never making on a plane now? It's bad enough I got all this jewelry on. She can't be serious, man.
Oh, it's no secret. Ladies love sports, too, with TJ.
Oh, yes, they do. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. It is a full roundtable tonight, the fearsome foursome in full effect. And as I said before the break, let's see if we can bring in our caller here who wants to talk to us. I think I know who this person is. 601-447, you are on with the ladies. Talk to us. Dale?
Hello?
Hey, come on in the room.
Hey, TJ.
What's going on?
Not much. I got a few things to talk about there.
Well, let's talk.
First, the 76ers. My big boy, he's looking pretty good, although he injured. He's looking pretty good against the Hawks. Trae Young, he's looking good against the 76ers. My Clippers got to play some defense. And there's a long fight against the Jazz. I agree with you. The Bucks right there, either dead or sleepwalking, because they lose one more game, it's over. Oh, last thing. Uh-huh. Nashville, Tennessee. Titans. That's my young. My youngest son's favorite team. Also, Nashville has become one of my favorite football teams. Cities. So I was glad when they got Julio Jones. Because Nashville, tennis is always good. So I'm glad for the city of Nashville for them to be able to overcome what they had, the tragedy about the bombing in downtown Nashville. So I think it would help the city with Julio Jones coming to Nashville. That's all I got for you.
All right, then. Well, that, you said a lot, Dale. Thank you so much, as always, for calling and giving us your thoughts.
All right.
You be easy.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. And, yes, we will definitely get to the football news here. Tennessee Titans and Mr. Jones, he got a thing going on now in Tennessee. But let's get back to basketball here real quick. So the Western Conference semifinals, Utah Jazz and the L.A. Clippers. Jazz, they now lead that series 1-0, taking the game 112-109 last night. Dale said that the Clippers weren't playing any defense. Hey, Lou, do you agree with that? Or what is your assessment of the reason that the Clippers fell in the game one last night?
Dale, I love you dearly, but both of the teams were playing defense. I just think the shots wasn't going down because, see, in the beginning, the shots weren't going down for the Jazz. They were shooting three left and right. I was like, thank you, Lord, that they were missing them because Lord knows we would have been behind as many times as they got the shot. And so we were shooting, trying to shoot threes and twos, and they just weren't going down. But I think that we played defense because for us just to lose by three, that was really a blessing considering, you know. So there was defense played on both sides, and that's what kind of kept the team. But the offense was no one just
flew away. No one just excelled in the offense because, you know, we got over 100 each team, but it was like it was just back-to-back. It was tit-for-tat. So I think they played the defense, but they didn't excel in the offensive side of shooting. And, you know, you got the shots, but you're not making them. That's
right.
What I do.
Right. You know what? I'm in total agreement with you. I'm not sure what Dale was. I don't know which quarter he watched, but yeah, the defense I think on for both sides. But like I said, I think the shots just stopped falling for the Clippers. You know, in that last four minutes of the game. Let me bring Terry back in. Let's see. Terry, you with
me? Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep. Got you right here. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and like I said, the energy that the Clippers came into game one with, I was excited to see that. I was excited to see that it was a close game. You know, hats off to the Clippers, you know, for bringing that energy. Janelle, you know, what were your thoughts with game one?
I agree 100% with both you ladies. The defense. That was a true defensive game. They were playing. It's just that for whatever reason, on both sides, the shots just weren't falling. But I agree with Ms. Lucinda. If the Jazz had been dropping those shots, it would have been a totally different story.
Yeah.
It would have been a totally different story.
Yeah. Totally. Terry, you want to jump in here on the game one of the Jazz and Clippers? Terry?
Did you lose her again?
No, I see her on the line.
She might be muted. Unmute, Ms. Terry. We can't hear you.
Okay. Well, maybe hang up and try to call back in. And press 1 when you call back. Maybe that's part of it. If you can hear us, let me see.
If you can hear us, Terry, hang up, call back, and press 1. I love yet, but that's okay. Well, we'll get her back in here. Just holler when you hear us, Terry. Okay. But
holler. All right. So it might be a little bit too early to call this. Oh, and we will go back to the Nets and Bucks once we do this one. But ladies, how do you see this series shaping up? Aunt Lou, will have you kick this one off since this is your team. So how many games and who is advancing from this series?
You're talking about my Jazz in the Clippers?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think that we can take them. I believe that we can. Even though they're the three-point shooters, you know, we just got to step it up. If you notice, Kawhi didn't really shoot a lot. Maybe he got more points than Paul George. Of course, Paul George got in so much trouble. But I think that, you know, we got other guys that can shoot them threes, and they need to keep their white boy out there. What is his name? He be blocking and stealing and everything. He's a big boy. He's our center. I can't think of his name right now, but y'all know who I'm talking about. And so we have some three-pointers shooters on our team as well. But I think that we could take it. It might go to game 7. I hope it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it might go. But I believe that we can take it probably in 7. I'm pretty sure. But I wish they wouldn't stretch it out like that. It ain't like it's going to be no blowout because they ain't going down like that. I could see that in the Jazz, you know.
Right.
But I think we can take it in 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Being realistic here. Realistic.
Okay, I love it. I love the being realistic there, Aunt Lou. All right, Janelle, what you think?
I know it's a shocker. She's never realistic. Okay. Honestly,
wow.
I think. Honestly, I think it's going to be the Jazz that take it. I love you, Ms. Lucinda. I really do, but I think the Jazz is going to take it. I think it might actually go 6 or 7, but I think the Jazz are going to take it.
Mhm. Okay. All right. You know, this one is a little tough, but like I said, the Clippers really showed me a lot. The fact that they couldn't hold on to it, I'm not going to crucify them. Again, coming off of that 7-game series with the Mavericks, I don't think they were anticipating that. So with that being said, if the Clippers take game two, then I do see the Clippers winning in seven. I think they can win. Of course, we know the last series, no home team won until game seven. So if the Clippers can win in game two, I think they will take it in seven. Otherwise, I think the Jazz will do it in six, maybe even five. But I'm hoping that the Clippers get out of this round. I really do. So, but I'm going to say it, Clippers in seven. Yeah.
And, TJ, right, I want to say something there.
Uh-huh. Okay, hold on real quick. Terry, you with
me? Yes, I'm here.
All right. Go ahead, Ailu.
And I say that to say if these guys, you know, with the way they're playing, because, see, they didn't think the Clippers would win in seven because, really, we've been winning on the road but losing at home.
Right.
But they had to break things. So I just believe that we're going to get past round two. That's my prayer. Get past round two.
Yeah, that's my prayer for y'all, too, because I'm about tired of the Clippers just, you know, having all these high expectations. I hope to be as good.
She on a roll tonight.
We have a high hope.
I am hoping that the Clippers can go ahead and make some noise here. I would like to see them in the Western Conference Finals. Terry, who do you have coming out of this series here with the Jazz and the Clippers, and how many games?
I think the Jazz is going to take it probably in six. I would like for the Clippers, but I don't know. I'm going with the Jazz, and I think they'll do it in six.
Okay. All right. Well, let's circle back.
Lay on the ground, Miss Terry. Lay on the ground, Miss Terry. Just lay on the ground.
Not lay on the ground, Lord.
What the mess?
Don't be like that, Lou. All right, let's circle back to the Nets and the Bucks. How many games do we see this going, and who's going to take it? Terry, let's have you start with that one.
The Nets, I said, let me see, I think the Nets was six. Yeah, I think that the Nets would do it in six.
Okay. All right. Janelle, what you think?
I think the Nets going to do it in five. And to be honest, if the Bucks don't wake up this next game, they're going to get swept.
Yeah, and four.
Come on with it. Because they have showed me nothing. Hey, Lou.
Yeah.
They show nobody else nothing.
If they don't get swept, I agree with that postpartum somebody. I agree with Janelle. If they don't get swept in four, the Nets will take it in five.
Mhm. Okay. I mean, either way, four or five is bad because the Bucks have the three seed. All this talent, you know, they went and got Drew Holiday. They went and got P.J. Tucker to give Antetokounmpo some offensive, you know, firepower and the ability to take away some pressure off of Giannis. But keep it four or five. Five is just a gentleman's sweep. You know, that's just saying it politely. That still sucks if you can't win but one game. And you have all that talent. But right now, Coach Budenholzer, he really has to step his game up because his coaching at this point. I said this last week, though. I don't know why when you get to the playoffs, you have to do the rah-rah and motivate people to get up. It's the playoffs. This is what you get paid for. This is what everybody looks forward to. So if you have to muster up energy and, you know, emotion and all that for your team, you might be in the wrong business. But with that being said, I don't know what Coach Bud is going to have to do, but he needs to put his team in better position to be competitive with the Brooklyn Nets because this is just ridiculous. This is embarrassing at this point. 49 points. They were down by 49 points in a playoff game. I don't know. But it wouldn't be surprising if they got swept. I don't even know if their morale is okay. From the press conference that Giannis had after game two, when he just said basically that Kevin Durant, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to get what we get. We, you know, we just have to come with a little bit more energy and we have to, you know, find a way to stop him. Well, you don't sound too convinced. You're not convincing me. So I don't know if you're convincing yourself. But we'll see. But I think it's going to be four. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they can bounce back and, you know, put some Milwaukee-ness on them in game three. But we'll see. All right, let's go ahead and move to the last series here. The Suns and the Nuggets, they will be tipping off here shortly at 9:30. And like I said, Suns took game one, 122-105. Devin Booker, he is just really showing why he is going to be a force in this league. And again, Chris Paul, a healthy Chris Paul is, you know, it makes the Phoenix Suns very tough to beat. So, ladies, you know, how do you see this series, you know, unfolding? Hey, Lou, we'll kick you off with this.
Oh, I'm so precious. I'm somebody that's the second and third seed, I think they are, right? If I'm correct.
Yep, you're right. Correct.
It's going to be a closey. It's going to be a doozy, I tell you. But it's just who wants it the baddest. You know what I mean? Chris Paul is talking the talk to see if he's going to walk the walk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, it could go either way. I mean, give me like another two games, and I can tell you everything.
Okay.
But
right.
I really don't know too much about either one of those teams like that, you know.
Okay, that's honest enough. Janelle, what you think?
I think that if Chris Paul can stay healthy, that the Suns will probably take it in six. I think the Nuggets try and show up for these next couple games, but I think, like tonight, I think the Suns going to take it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, okay. If Chris Paul can stay healthy, I can promise you that that's the game to watch. Like you said, a healthy Chris Paul, that's when you know the Suns is at their best.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. We are recapping round two of the NBA playoffs. All right, Terry, how do you see this series unfolding?
I agree with the ladies, but I think if Chris Paul stay healthy, I think they will take it in six.
Okay.
He has to stay healthy because, you know,
yeah,
they're playing ball right now.
All right. Well, we are in agreement. Again, Chris Paul, yes, I do see the Suns taking it in six. That home court advantage that Phoenix has, I think they have just been, you know, without meaningful basketball for so long that they are just super-duper excited. And, ladies, can we just talk about how – wonderful it is to hear and see the fans in the stands. I mean, I understand we are still going to half of the country, they say, skip, you know, bump the virus. The vaccine, you know, people not wanting to take it. I heard that in Ohio they have a lottery for $1 million. If you get the vaccine, your name goes into a lottery for $1 million. So, I mean, they must have a lot of vaccines that they're trying to, you know, put into people's system. But even with all of that, to see and hear the fans back in the stands, how exciting is that, ladies?
Super exciting.
It is absolutely phenomenal. It is phenomenal.
Yeah. How we have taken so much stuff for granted. I mean, my goodness. And I'll be totally honest with you, even when I see in the stands, I think each stadium or arena, they have separate, like, sections. They have sections for vaccinated people. And then, you know, sectors that aren't vaccinated. And I know that everyone who sits at courtside, they have to wear their mask. But at this point, even when I see them without their mask, I don't even care. You know, it's up to them at this point. It's a personal decision. If, you know, you want to sit up there in the COVID festive, you know, infestation, more power to you. But I'm just happy to see the fans up there now. I can't lie. It's just really good to see. Hey, Lou, did you I didn't hear you. Are you happy to see the fans, or you just don't care?
Oh, hey, Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very happy. I think it's a wonderful thing. It will never get back to normalcy, but, you know, we're getting to a certain point. And it's just, you know, it's exciting because I'm excited about the playing, you know, in the team. So, yeah, I'm excited.
All right. All right, so a little bit of NBA news and notes here. So for the Trailblazers, they have, they said it was a mutual parting of the ways, but Coach Terry Scott and the team have agreed to part ways, so the Trailblazers are looking for a new coach. The Celtics as well, Danny Ainge, he decided to retire, and now he's now Brad Stevens, who was the former coach. He has moved to president of basketball operations. For the 76ers, their president of basketball operations, Maury, sorry, his first name slips me right now, but he has been fined $75,000 for a tweet that he tweeted. He was fined for violating the anti-tampering rule. Maury tweeted the word "join them" in response to Steph's post about his brother Seth. So he was just talking about how well Seth had been playing, and the president of basketball operations for the 76ers said, "Well, join them," telling basically Steph Curry to come to the 76ers. So that cost him $75,000. Shout out to Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau. He was named Coach of the Year. He's the third Knicks coach to win the award. He joins Pat Riley and Red Holzman. The Knicks, their 20-win improvement over last season was the third largest in NBA history. Again, shout out to Nikola Jokic. He won the Kia's MVP award. He is the lowest drafted player ever to win MVP. He was drafted in the second round, number 41 overall, and he's the first in Denver Nuggets history to win the award. He's also the fourth center since 1983-84 to win the MVP, but he's the first since Shaquille O'Neal back in the 99-2000 series. So, I'm sorry, season. All right, so shout out to all of them. But real quick, ladies, before we move to football, Trailblazers, Portland Trailblazers, Damian Lillard, just game time. You know, when you have a talent such as his and you just constantly see him not advancing, not making it to, you know, the NBA Finals. Now, I think the Portland Trailblazers, they made it to the NBA Western Conference Finals like two, three seasons ago. So he has seen a little bit of success. But, you know, ladies, just want to get your opinion real quick. You know, do you think it's time that either he think about leaving Portland or, you know, is it just, he just really need to do some recruiting? No, I'm just asking a question. Is it time for Dame Lillard to leave Portland in order to seek that elusive championship he's looking for? Janelle, we'll have you kick that one off.
I'm glad you stopped right there because yes, it's time for him to go.
Yeah,
it's time for him to go. It's not enough recruiting in the world to give that boy the help he needs.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Hey, Lou, what do you think?
Yeah. Totally agree with Janelle.
Okay. All right. Terry?
I am in agreement with the ladies. I mean, he has too much talent to just continue to, you know, linger around.
Yeah.
It's time for him to go.
You know, he is one of the few rare I guess, old school heads that we like to refer to. You know, Janelle and I always talk about how we loved how basketball was back in the day. And Damian Lillard, he's one of the few who still has that mindset, you know, I refuse to join them. You know, I know that I am good. I know I am one of the, you know, top tier players in this league. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to win on my own. But, you know, we save time for him to leave. But, you know, now think he will leave? You know, do you think he's just going to be, you know, so trying to prove that point of not wanting to join that he's just going to waste his career away in Portland?
I don't think he'll leave. To be honest, it would take a lot. But I'm telling you, if they don't, they can do all the recruiting in the world and it's not going to help. It's the mindset of that whole coaching staff, that whole he needs more than just players around him. He needs somebody who's gonna help him execute his talent. He needs somebody that's actually gonna show his gift. And that's not happening there. He's been there long enough. And if he's a player that actually wants to get a championship, he needs to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Janelle.
because you think about, you know, some places you can stay, but everybody don't have that championship mentality, you know. Mm-hmm. And they don't desire it like that, you know. And you got to be around people that want to win, but they just need somebody to push them to win.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. Yeah, Janelle, I'm with you. I do believe different coaching, you know, if he can get, because he Damian Lillard, wants Terry Stotts. Excuse me, I had a problem with those. Once Terry Stott was, you know, let go, he was buying or, you know, campaigning for a Jason Kidd, Damian Lillard was. Because I guess, from what I hear, they have a really good relationship, but he believes in, you know, the talent of Jason Kidd. And I think even if you get the right coaching in there, you still have to put the right people around him. So I like, that had resurrected his career in Portland. Came from the Knicks. What's his name? I can see his face. Carlisle's husband. Oh, my goodness. What's the man's name? Carmelo. Carmelo Anthony. You know, I think when he finally found a home in Portland, thank you so much, Sandy. when he found a home in Portland, I think that resurrected his career, and he's really been playing, you know, that kind of sixth role or the Batman, you know, Robin said the Batman. But they're going to have to get some more the superstar talent in Portland. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. Diamond will agree with you. If he really wants to, I'm not necessarily saying he has to join a KD or Kyrie or LeBron or something like that, but he's going to have to get some more firepower with him. I just really hope he decides to make the move. So I think it's going to be hard to associate him with any other team other than Portland, but, you know, I think he's really going to have to make that move.
But could you imagine him? Could you imagine him with the Lakers? With a healthy Davis and LeBron? Woo, girl.
Oh, my goodness. That would be a team right there. That would be equivalent to Durant, Harden, and Kyrie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be a force to be reckoned with. However, in the words of Charles Barkley, three clothes, how many games he going to play?
Well, why does he have to go to the Lakers? How come he can't come over to the Clippers? Huh?
Go ahead, Clippers. Out there. Put that back signal in the air.
Put it out there. Let me just put T-U-T, not T-U-T-T. All right.
Go ahead, Ayla. I'm not mad at you. I just hope he decides to go somewhere. Because, like I said, he is just too talented to be wasting his best years in Portland. They are not. I don't see it. I don't see it. And even with the new coaching, even Jason Kidd coming, you know, to coach, I don't know. But we'll see. We shall see. I love his grit, though. I really do. I admire Damian Lillard so much because they don't make them like that anymore. They really don't. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. So I'll tell you what, right there, we are going to put a pin in it, jump to our next break. Because then on the flip side of that, it will be time. I think it's getting us ready here. You know, that she gave us just a little snippet. I don't know what she was trying to say, but, you know, she found a rhyme and put it together. But she just don't have it all together when we come back out of this break. If it's going to be time for the baddest lady in the land when her pen hits that kid. Lucinda's lyrics will be up right after the break. It's the ladies of sports, the round table. The fifth foursome, Hey Lou, Janelle, Harry, and DJ. We'll be right back after the break. All right, that's all y'all get is friends.
was your man. Hey, hey. When I was your man. If I was your best friend, would you let me take care of you? Do all the things that only a best friend can. Help me pick out your clothes before we go out. Not that you're helpless, but sometimes those are the things that being in love about. Yes, I was your one and only friend. Would you run to me if somebody hurt you? Breakfast sometime. Well, then can we just hang out? I mean, can we go to a movie? Come on, and give up. 'Cause to me, baby, that would be so fine. Ooh. Baby, can I dress you? I mean, help you pick out your clothes before we go out. Listen, girl, I ain't saying you're helping.
Yes, birthday boy would have been celebrating his birthday. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. And I do apologize. Y'all heard me talking to Facebook before I muted my microphone. So your girl's not talking to herself. I was talking to the people in Facebook land. But now it is time. It is time for the baddest lady in the land when her pen hits her patch to talk to us. Yes, it is time for Lucinda's lyrics. So, Miss Lucinda, what do you have on tap for us tonight?
Good evening, LL Sports 2 again. Well, round one of the NBA playoffs is done. And yes, my Clippers has won. In this series, we took the Mavs down 4-3. And game seven brought me so much glee. Now the semifinals have started, and some teams lost and have departed. The Hawks and the 76ers are tied 1-1. Both teams are trying to get the job done. The Nets are two games over the Bucks. Winning for the Nets is the main crux. The Suns are leading the Nuggets 1-0, but the Clippers... But the Jazz beat our tail in game one, you know. We should have won that game. There was no one else to blame. In the first half, we were leading by as much as 14. And in the third quarter, the Jazz came back on the scene just to beat us by 3. And to cause me so much misery. I'm so excited to see what the end will be for each team. and hoping that the Clippers will gain an NBA final victory.
Oh, you better talk about the Clippers.
maybe we'll get the Hawks get love next. You know me, I'm just being messy. Stop it, JJ. Stop it. Wonderful job, eh, Lou? Wonderful job, as always.
Thank you.
All right, ladies. Let's go ahead and get to some football news and here, news and notes. All right, it is official. No more Julio Jones suiting up for the Atlanta Falcons. He has made his way to Tennessee. Y'all knew it was coming. Tennessee. Lord, I really want to. Okay, that's it. And Julio, gone. Team acquired him via trade. The Tennessee Titans also get the 2023 sixth-round pick from the Falcons. Now, the Falcons, they will pick up a
2022 second-round pick and a 2023 fourth-round pick. Jones is joining the Titans after that team lost Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith to free agency. Also, in order to get Julio, quarterback Ryan Tannehill, he reworked his contract to get Julio Jones there. So now Tannehill holds $41.8 million against the cap in 2022 and $39.8 against the cap in 2023. And Jones will have $11.5 million against the cap each of the next two seasons. So, ladies, it's official. I think you guys both knew that it was coming, but, you know, now that he is actually, you know, no longer a Falcon, what are your thoughts, about him, you know, no longer being a Falcon, and how much of an impact do you think he will really bring to the Tennessee Titans? Janelle, we'll have you kick that off.
I'm not going to lie and tell you I'm not crunchy because I am. It was just two seasons ago where he was talking about he wanted to start and finish his career here in Atlanta. And I don't know what happened, but I'm a little crunchy. I'll get over it by the fall season start. I wish him well, but I am a little crunchy that he left. I will say that it's not Julio Jones of 5 years ago. It's Julio Jones who every other game has a problem with his toe or something else. So if he can't stay healthy, he's not going to be able to do anything for the Titans.
Okay. So right now, since you're a little crunchy, are you kind of rooting that he's the Julio of new and not old?
No. No, I wish him well. I hope he can stay healthy because you know how I feel about playing up against teams. If I want to play you, I want to play you for one. I need your whole team healthy. Let's go.
I got you. All right. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. Talking a little football news here. Julio Jones has now officially become a Tennessee Titan. Terry? Your thoughts on officially, you know, him being a Titan, and how do you think he'll fare with the Titans?
I'm on the boat with Janelle. I hate to see, you know, Julio go, but I do wish him the best.
Mm-hmm.
I truly wish him the best. But, you know, like Janelle say, you know, he's always, you know, from each game, he always has something that's going on. But if he can stay healthy, then I think he'll be good for the Titans.
Right.
Got to stay healthy.
Okay. All right. Hey, Lou, do you want to chime in about Julio going to the Titans?
Yeah, I'm chiming. I'm a chime. Ding, 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 ding. I am happy that he's gone because that means Atlanta's not going to be doing too much. Well, but you know, they could have some what do you call
this
it?
Do know they still have a few weapons, and they picked up the number one tight end in the draft this year, Lou.
Thank you.
Well. You know, but injuries could fall upon him too. God forbid. So you know, just don't get too excited. Now you better recognize. Okay.
As I was saying before, I was so politely interrupted by a bird. Okay, I think it's a good thing because maybe he needed to get out of there. Sometimes when you stay too long in places, you know, you get stagnant. And you, but seriously, you get stagnant and you just need to move on. And, you know, just we don't know what he's going to do over there. But the Titans, I'm not worried about the Titans. I just think that, you know, people should do what they want to do. And, you know, and do it, but do it in a way that is respectable. That's all.
Okay. All right, then. Well, ladies, you know, and I don't have a dog in this fight, so it might be a little bit easy for me to say this. But, Janelle, the point that you made, it's not the Julio of 5 years ago. Now, if Julio Jones manages to all of a sudden be able to stay healthy in Tennessee, then I'm really going to have a raised eyebrow because, you know, sometimes people can find an injury. Or we'll see if he was trying to find an injury. With that being said, because he, you know, it seemed like he was off the field more than on, you know, to be able to free up that money to be able to pay to bring some people who could, you know, hopefully help offensive side or defensive side, wherever they want to distribute the money. I think that's a good thing. But like I said, if Julio all of a sudden has a miraculous, you know, just that maybe he'd been sleeping in the incubator chamber like Michael Jackson used to do, and he gets, you know, mm-hmm. this. You know, new hell. Then we're going to have a problem.
But, she acting up.
But real with that being said, I just don't know how he's going to fit. I'm confused. Let me just, and don't get me wrong, Tennessee Titans, they are definitely on an upward mobile ascension. They have been playing some really good football. They've been in the playoffs the past, what, 2-3 seasons. Ryan Tannehill, he has found his game again. But say you want to win, are the Tennessee guys really, are they really a threat to go to the Super Bowl when you have, still have the Kansas City Chiefs in that division? I mean, you still have the AFC North, all of those teams, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. But, you know, not that Tennessee can't make it any given, you know, any given Sunday, any season. But you say you want to win, but you go to Tennessee. And let's be real, what are the Tennessee Titans known for? Their passing game or their run game? How many looks is Julio really going to get with Derrick Henry basically having the bulk of their offensive firepower? Do you think Tennessee Titans are just going to completely change up their offense because they went and got Julio Jones? It's a rhetorical question, but ladies, I would love for y'all to chime in on that. Whoever wants.
We don't know what he's running away from. Sometimes you just run away. He could be getting more money, or he could be running away from stuff
that's
going on.
Oh, he ain't getting no more money.
Mm-mm. He's not?
Mm-mm. No,
he's not getting no more money. They literally took his contract just the way it was. He ain't getting no more money.
Hey, he's like a used car. As is, baby. With
there it is.
Oops.
There it is.
Oops. I don't know. Yeah, I'm confused. So I, you know, or is it me? Do you think that the Tennessee Titans will revamp their offense and
no.
make it evenly offensive side, but passing and running?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I'm more confused than anything. I don't know who, what all teams were involved in trade talks, but I just for him to land in Tennessee, the things that make you go, huh? Because
yeah, that was my question to you, Tina. But did you know if there was another? You know, other teams that wanted him to come to, you know, their teams other than the Titans. So maybe that just, you know, there was no other offer up front, and that's where he landed because he wanted to leave the Falcons. You know, I don't know that.
Well, as far as offers, I don't know teams that, like, outright came. But I know that a lot of, you know, analysts and sports commentators
we're talking about teams that he would be a fit for and who, you know, could possibly be interested. Of course, the Patriots was number one. You know, and honestly, I thought that's maybe where he would go, to the Patriots. You put him with Cam Newton, at least have Cam to have a target to throw to. And then while you're bringing Mac Jones along, you know, we don't know who will really be the starter for the Patriots. But right now, Bill Belichick says that Cam Newton is primed to be the starter for this season. But I really thought the Patriots would be a good fit. A lot of people were throwing around the 49ers, but I know we really don't have a lot of money to waste on, like, dead cap space. And I'm okay with the offensive power that we have. Again, because Julio stays hurt so much. But he could be another Blake Griffin. He could be playing possum. If Julio Jones gets out there and starts catching balls like he did in the Super Bowl, Atlanta, you might need to go get some money. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If he pulls a Blake Griffin, it should be some chairs moving in the city. That's all I'm going to say. But I just... So yeah, to answer your question, Terry, again, Patriots, I know that was a team that was really being thrown around. And I think even the Ravens, you know, they were saying, you know, how could Lamar Jackson really excel his game with a target like a Julio Jones to throw to in his offense? So those are the three. I think the Dolphins were mentioned as well. But Patriots, Ravens, and 49ers were the three teams that I heard, you know, the most.
Okay.
I don't even think I heard Tennessee. Again, it just doesn't seem like a good fit for his skill set for what Tennessee is known for. Because I can't see them getting away from using Derrick Henry as the source of their offense.
Mm-mm.
So they're paying, you know, it's like a highly paid blocker in Julio Jones. But, you know, like I said, you put him in your arsenal, you're going to have to find a way to utilize him. So,
right.
Maybe that's – we'll see. You know, we shall see. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. And real quick before I get into this story, Aaron Rodgers. So it is said that he will not be showing up to mandatory minicamp. And with him not showing up, they're saying that the Packers would have the ability to, not saying that they will, but they would have the right or it's in their power to fine him. He could lose a maximum of $93,085 for his absence if the Green Bay Packers do not make it an excused absence, and I don't know why they would. I think the writing is on the wall, but, you know, ladies, is it just time for the Green Bay Packers to save face and find an exit strategy for Aaron Rodgers? Hey, Lou, we'll have you kick that off.
Yeah, I think they need to let the man go, because he wants to go, doesn't he?
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. They need to just let him go. When you're trying to hold somebody to put him in prison, don't put me in bondage. Don't put me in timeout because I'm going to get out. I'm a runaway. And so I'm just talking about me right there. But, you know, you got to let people be free. Because when you start putting pressure on people and, you know, trying to control them and stuff, they going to find a way to rebel, you know. But hopefully it won't be costing nobody no $93,000. Oh, my goodness. That's
awesome. I got a bank account. You want to give it away.
Girl, you better reckon that. You can just give me 10% of that, and I'll be content as a baby.
Come on now.
He's sucking on my bottle and just drinking my milk. Yes, I would.
No, goodness. Come on, ain't Lou.
Oh, goodness.
Terry, is the time to just depart ways with old Aaron Rodgers there? Green Bay.
No, they just need to depart ways with him. If he's a man want to go, let him go. You know, because it's... Who's to say if he stay and if he play, that's a big if, then is he going to be at his top performance? You know, they just need to let him go.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't see a player getting out there and playing not at full, you know, full strength. Football is just a game that you can't go out there and not give it all. So the
right.
question would he be willing to sit out? And from the looks of it, it looks like he probably would. Janelle, it's time to save face and Green Bay gone. Let it. I think they better let it go.
Okay. You out of control tonight.
You better keep your comments to yourself. You heard me.
She is out of control tonight. She didn't even get through the whole recap before she was singing. She earned that jukebox duty tonight. Before I answer that, to tack on to what you were saying, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers here. That boy don't ever put a suit on. That don't give 100%. So I can't see him not. You know, he's very competitive, extremely
mm-hmm.
competitive. So
mm-hmm.
I can't see him not, you know, suiting up and doing his thing. But
right. Plus, being the
to that end, right, it's time for them to go ahead and get some negotiations going, because obviously money don't mean nothing to him when you can just let the wind blow through $93,000.
Come on now.
Already made $200 million. So 93 probably like $9 us. I'm gonna just throw it out there. Just, you know, I'm not good in math, that's off the top of my head. But yeah, $200 million, 93,000, yeah, you know, that's probably nothing to him. But for him to sit out, you know, if they do decide to keep him, and if he would decide to sit out a whole year, you know, I don't know how that would be feasible for him, but yeah, I think it's time for Green Bay to just go ahead and save face. I think this bridge has been burned, and they just need to go ahead and part ways. But we shall see. Sad news for the New York Giants, their former head coach, Jim Fossil. He died at the age of 71. He was the coach of the year in 1997 and led the Giants to Super Bowl 35. All right. All right, ladies, so before we get out of here tonight, there was a story that broke last week, and just really didn't get a chance to talk about it, but we'll hopefully get a chance to really visit it tonight. But the NFL, I don't know if you guys heard this, but they had pledged to stop race norming. Now, I'm going to be honest, I had never heard of this before this story broke. So when I heard it, I was like, what in the world, and are you really serious about this? So on last Wednesday, they pledged to halt the use of race norming. And the practice of race norming is this. It assumed that black players started out with lower cognitive function. In a $1 billion settlement of brain injury claims and review of past scores for any potential race bias. So basically they're saying that going into this like survey or settlement, or if a player had to join this settlement or try to file for an injury claim, they're basically saying that the black players were assumed to start out at a lower cognitive brain function. So this made it harder for black retirees to show a deficit and qualify for an award. The standards were created in the 1990s in hopes of offering more appropriate treatment to dementia patients, but critics faulted the way that they were used to determine payouts in the NFL concussion case. Now, last Wednesday's announcement came after a pair of black players filed a civil rights lawsuit over the practice. Medical experts raised concerns, and a group of NFL families last month dropped 50,000 petitions at the federal courthouse in Philadelphia, and this is where the lawsuit had been thrown out by the judge overseeing the settlement. Said former Washington running back Ken Jenkins, whose wife Amy Lewis led the petition drive on behalf of the NFL friends, struggling with the cognitive problems. He said, I quote, words are cheap. Let's see what they do. Now, the league said in a statement issued on Wednesday by the spokesman Brian McCarthy, they said, I quote, we are committed to eliminating race-based norms in the program and more broadly in the neuropsychological community. The parties to the settlement have been working with the magistrate judge and have assembled the leading members of the neuropsychological industry to help identify alternative testing techniques, end quote.
Also, who is this? Christopher Seeger. He is the lead lawyer for the players. He said, I quote, "I am sorry for the pain this episode has caused black former players and their families. Ultimately, this settlement only works if former players believe in it, and my goal is to regain their trust and ensure the NFL is fully held to account," end quote. And just to go on, the binary race norm, you know, when they are used in the testing, assumes that black patients start with worse cognitive function than whites and other non-blacks. That makes it harder for them to show a deficit and qualify for the award. Henry and Davenport, for instance, these are two of the players who were trying to qualify for, you know, this claim. They were denied awards but would have qualified had they been white, according to their lawsuit. Brody, again, the judge dismissed this in March, calling it an improper collateral attack. More than 2,000 NFL retirees have filed dementia claims, but fewer than 600 have received awards. This is according to the most recent report. And more than half of all NFL retirees are black, according to lawyers involved in the litigation. Ladies, I know I just gave y'all a lot in a little time frame, but can you believe in 2021 we are having to address that they really put in writing that black men had a lower cognitive, you know, just automatically assuming that black men come in with a lower cognitive, you know, deficiency. I shouldn't say can you believe it. I don't think it's hard to believe. But that's a rhetorical question. But can you believe that? Hey, Lou, I think you hear you.
If it ain't one thing, it's another. First of all, black people's brains, we excel and exceed in everything, so how can we be, I can't even talk. But I'm just saying, this dementia hits every race of people, you know what I mean? And look, yeah. With our brains being so sharp and we constantly being competitive and all that stuff, I mean, we don't lose our brain cells like that, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just this. Well, we're doing this privilege thing again, and it's just getting old now. You know what I mean? Just don't want to give them anything that they deserve. I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, I can.
Yeah, just one thing after another.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting old, it's old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It don't make sense.
I'm dumbfounded. I really am. And it's 2021, and you saying that black people's ability to properly use their brains is not the same as a white person? I mean, come on. I can't. I can't with these people. This is ridiculous.
Well,
And I need you to explain to me how the color of my skin determines my cognitive function. I need that explained to me. Somebody, please.
Come on, baby. Come on. Exactly. So that's basically what they're saying. They're saying that black men came in with a lower cognitive function. Therefore, it was just bound for them to have dementia. That's their only alternative. Of course they're going to have dementia once they have retired from football and 10, 12 years later. What do you expect? They already, you know, their brain was already at a lower cognitive function. Really? Don't put that in writing.
But every person, TJ, can have dementia. Black, white, purple, green, Mexican. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. As you get older, the dementia does come in. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They're back to relating us to monkeys. That's what it sounds like.
Now. How does the monkey make his noise?
I know, but that monkey
let me
is sick.
Let me get a banana. I don't believe it. But let them slip on it and bust their head so then they can't have no cognitive problems. I don't even understand.
Mm. I mean, but we just, I'm like you, Janelle. I'm dumbfounded. So on one end, you know, black men are they're deficient in brain capacity, so that, you know, they already come in lower. But on the other hand, they're the mandingos, and you get out there and you put them in the field and make the work from sun up to sun down. They can carry tractors, trailers, sheds, the horses, and all that. But the brain cells are. Well, time. Let me stop.
Girl, just put them on the basketball court. They supersede everybody. When you see a white boy or some foreign guy playing basketball like a black man, they have worked hard. Trust me, I bet they'll tell you that they work double harder than a black man. It comes to us to them naturally because God made them like that. You gonna talk about their brains? Are you serious?
And this was in the 1990s. I think I'm more disappointed that it's taken to 2021 for this to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Really. 1990s, this mm-hmm. has been going on. Can you imagine all of the players who have lost out on money owed to them because they gave their life? We always talk about it. Playing in the NFL is a choice, and you know what you're signing up for. But at the same time, the league has got to take care of the players. You have made billions off the backs of these players. And when it's simply to pay up, you want to find any excuse in the book to not give them what they are rightly owed.
Right.
Good as
you know,
that's
40
acres and a mule all over, TJ. 40 acres and a mule. Where is my acres? Where is my mule? Oh, my God.
I just, you know, and it's in all seriousness, it's so disheartening. I guess I'm double standard because I'm not going to stop watching. You know what I mean? I'm still going to tune in every Sunday, but at what point, my goodness, are you just going to continue to treat us like third, fifth, 10th, 25th classes? I'm so disheartened.
Yeah.
Wow. But, like I said, so hopefully, you know, with it being brought to light, you know, everybody's saying, oh, you know, we're sorry we were wrong. Yeah, you're sorry you're wrong. So I hope a lot of these families who unfortunately, you know, may have lost loved ones due to the, not being their claims being approved and they could have had a longer, lifespan or at least a better quality of life because you chose to just ignore, you know, the diagnosis that, you know, they should have had. I'm just, like I said, just so disheartening.
I don't know why the white man thinks he's got to have everything.
And not only that, they probably, whoever diagnosed them, you know, it probably had to be a white doctor. You know what I mean?
Because
they took them somewhere. You know, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a group of white men who came up with this crap.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's
there could not have been any black people in this meeting. If they are, then they need to be black card pulled. And on that note, that's a wrap, ladies. That's the show. Wow. Awesome show tonight. So it is time for our lovely shout-out. And Janelle, we will have you kick off our shout-out tonight.
I would first like to say, go Braves, go Hawks. Miss Terry, I'm so happy that you were able to make it tonight. I'm sorry you're not 100%, but I pray that you get to feeling better soon.
Thank you.
And Miss Lucinda, you know, I never know which Miss Lucinda I'm coming up on when we do this show. I really don't. I love all of them, but sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's a challenge to love you. Sometimes, I'm telling you. But I love you dearly anyway. You and Miss Terry. Jukebox Judy. When you get started, you do realize that Sing-Along Sally be right behind you. I just need you to understand that. You star Miss Lucinda go. You star Miss Lucinda go. Y'all just be tag team. And you is out of control tonight. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. But I love you anyway because anytime you get out of control, I know we're going to have a good show.
Okay, this is my last one. Tag team, back again. Okay, all right. Terry,
see?
I love each and every one of you. I am so glad that I made it. My grandson came and he said, Granny, Wednesday. He said, what you getting ready to do? He said, I know. You're getting ready to get on your show. Thank you, baby. I was stressed out. But I have enjoyed the dialogue tonight. As always, it's an awesome show. And Janelle, I just love you so dearly. You just have such a sweetheart. Such a sweetheart. And I just love you. Miss Lucinda, you came straight out the gate tonight. You even give Tina the chance to even put the question out there. You just took it and just ran on over into the next set. But you know I love you dearly. And Tina, as always, you always have a dynamic show. And I love you, I love you, I love you. I continue to be blessed and have a blessed week.
All right, I love you. Right back.
Thank you.
I was already said go. Y'all know that even though I lost, my boys lost the first game. I was already said go. And when I found out that we had the four of the amigos in the house, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Janelle, I just love you. And you know what? You ain't going to never leave us because you know we love you. You know it. You know. Miss Terry. I'm so glad you back with us. I mean, you bring in the seriousness, but then sometimes your little old predictions and stuff just make me want to just throw a shoe over it if I can pull one and send one to Atlanta right about now. But I just love you so much. I just thank God for you guys. TJ, you're getting worse and worse. I love it. You just keep going to be bad as ain't loose before it's over.
I love it. Now, that's a prediction for you.
But I thank God for all you girls. I look forward to my wins. They be trying to get me to do other stuff. Get on Zoom and this. I say 5 o'clock. I got to be all people. I have a show, and and I fight. So they've been setting my meetings at 4 now, so that I can be, so I can get back on with my girl. And I'm just excited. I love the dialogue. I love all the everything we discuss, the different topics, and it's just the bantering back and forth. And Janelle undertone. She always got something to say under her breath. And I just love it. And I just but I thank God for y'all. And I wouldn't have it no other way. I could be in Canada on a vacation or something at a resort. But I'm going to come in Wednesday. I will be on the show because that's how much I love you guys. That's all I want to say.
Okay. And we love you right back. Thank y'all so much, ladies, as always. But thank you for coming.
Yeah.
And we'll, God willing, we'll be right back. Week. Same bat time, same bat station. So until then, y'all be blessed. All right? Bye, ladies.
Bye. Yeah.
347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies. And that is the fearsome foursome in the house tonight. All right, so Wednesday Wikipedia for June the 9th. What happened? I'm so glad you asked. A couple things. 1985, the Los Angeles Lakers won the NBA title by defeating the Boston Celtics. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scored 29 points. And in 1994, Lisa Left Eye Lopez from TLC, she set fire to her boyfriend's house. Her boyfriend at the time, Andre Rison of the Atlanta Falcons. Yes. Burn, baby, burn. Okay, let me stop. Yes, so Lisa Left Eye Lopez, she was promptly arrested and had to go to serve some time for that. All right. So that's your Wednesday Wikipedia for June the 9th. Birthday celebrated today. There are Johnny Depp. He turns 58. Michael J. Fox turns 60. Lori Hernandez, the gymnast, turns 21. Tamela Mann turns 55. And T.D. Jakes turns 64. The artists that celebrated birthdays this week who were featured tonight, Iggy Azalea, she turned 31 on June 7th. And Kanye West turned 44 on June 8th. Also on June 7th, he would have been 63. Can you believe it? Prince. Yes. Lost him 2016. All right. So, as I always say, whether you listen 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours, 1 hour, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you so much for the support. Dale, thank you so much for calling in, giving us your thoughts tonight. Always enjoy hearing what you have to say to the ladies on Wednesday nights. Shout out to Marlon of Silicon Valley. Shout out to Ronbo of Ronbo Sports. Shout out to the Chambers brothers, Marvin and Harold Chambers. Of course, a great big shout-out once again to Aunt Lou for bringing the strength with Lucinda's lyrics, to the ladies, Terry and Janelle. Like I said, I put up the prayer, put up the bad sign for Terry when she hit me up saying she might not make it, but it's just something when it's all four of us. And, I love doing the show, as you already know, but when it's all four of us, it's just a certain energy that is brought, and I just can't contain myself. And I think Aunt Lou is the same way. And I think Terry and Janelle is the same way. But, you know, Aunt Lou and I, we're just kind of cut from a different cloth. It's a very dramatic cloth, okay? Drama, it runs in our blood. And it is a capital D. I think that's what my D stands for in my middle name. They say it's for Denise, but I do think it is for drama, dramatic, and let's bring the, you know what I'm trying to say. Okay. But, ladies, I love you. And most importantly, I love how everyone says that they have to go to on Wednesday nights. They have to be there. They have to, show up for their show because it is the Fearsome Foursome. I love you, ladies, and I thank you for just all of your support, your sacrifice, and what you bring to this show. Shout out to my daddy, Lawrence Jackson. Shout out to my brother, D'Angelo Jackson. And last but no means least, to my mom, again, just for everything you do for LL Sports 2, holding down that timeline, all of the posts, just all of your unconditional love and support. My mommy, Denise Green, I love you. All right, so that is going to do it for the show tonight. One more thing that leaves us with is TJ's motivational moment. Tonight, just going to keep it short and sweet for you. You know how I always say I try to be fully transparent. And this week, just a lot going on just in life, you know. And you always wonder when, you know. Sometimes you want things to happen, you want to achieve things, you want to acquire things, and you're always like, when? You know, when is it going to be my time? When am I going to accomplish this? When am I going to see this come to fruition? But, you know, as a believer, and so I'm hoping that, I'm reaching one or another, but also speaking to myself, it is never in our timing. It is always in God's timing. But all we can do is to continue to persevere, continue to pursue, continue to speak life over ourselves and life in abundance. Always apply a positive outlook, a positive attitude, but speak positivity. I'm a firm believer that what you put in the universe will return back to you. So as long as you speak positivity, speak life, God is only bound to show up and show out. So to all of you at Forward, it is not in our time. It is in God's time. But I leave you with tonight's, don't leave you with a quote, but I'm leaving you with the ultimate quotes that they come from the Bible. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Don't faint. Keep on walking. Don't get weary. Keep those running shoes on. And when those wings mount up like eagles, baby, we are going to be ready to soar. Don't wait. Wait on the Lord. I'm TJ, and that's my motivational moment. Until next time, be good to others. Be good to yourselves. But most of all, y'all be bye-bye.